The one thing about Salah, he's got a very strong sense of his own status and his own ability. It's not arrogance. He knows how good he is.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite, giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Is this the biggest day of your life as an Aston Villa supporter? Are we sleepwalking into this last 16 of the Champions League? And let's not forget, like, also the FA Cup quarter final. Was Villa's last cup final the last one at the old Wembley?
2000, wasn't it?
2000, Chelsea.
No.
I think it was.
No.
Oh, no, they lost to Arsenal. Tim. They lost to Arsenal in one of the 14 or 15 ones.
Yeah. That was never a game, though, really, as far as I can remember.
But like, so there's no Liverpool, there's no Arsenal, there's no Manchester United, there's no Spurs, there's no Chelsea, there's no Newcastle.
Rodri's coming back. Did you see that yesterday?
Yeah, apparently.
No. Rodri could be back.
He hopes before the end of the season.
But like, actually next month, maybe. He's kicking football. So
Dan Sheehan levels of recuperation.
Yeah. So we'll see.
With Villa now, right, they're drawn against the only non-Premier League side left in the competition. Away to Preston in the quarterfinal.
Preston's best player happens to be on loan from Villa.
Does that rule him out? No.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. You can let him play if you want, but I think I think Arsenal did that in the cup last season. I don't know, actually. Was it the Carabao?
And right, Nottingham Forest beat Ipswich on penalties last night, so they'll play Brighton.
I did want Ipswich to go through there.
Fulham, Crystal Palace, and then Bournemouth, Manchester City. This is a phenomenal opportunity for Unai Emery's side.
It's a big opportunity, Emery.
Cup specialist manager.
Exactly. Having said that, all of those teams have, I think, this season beaten Villa, with the exception of Man City. in a weird, perverse world, Villa might have a better chance if it was against bigger teams who were playing slightly weakened sides and who were somewhat complacent. Whereas all these sides would be looking at Villa going, yeah, we've already had you this season. So we'll see. Not getting too carried away.
As long as Man City don't get to that final, that's kind of a... You're making sure you watch that.
Yeah, away to Bournemouth's tasty enough for City, but Bournemouth have kind of become inconsistent.
He is not... Like, I was looking at the Forest and Ipswich teams last night, and you're like, lads.
Yeah.
Ipswich didn't pick their full team.
I know.
What are they doing?
Well, they have to make sure they don't get relegated. Like,
but they're going to get relegated.
I know, but that can't be the thought in the room.
No, but there must be a little bit of you that, like, actually, look, you know what, we're gonna play our best team here and get a bit of cup momentum.
You know what they should have done? They should have done a Wigan Athletic on it. 2013 FA Cup winners.
And got relegated.
Relegated.
Like, at least, you know.
What do you talk about more?
10 years time, Kieran McKenna's managing Portugal.
Yeah. And they've never been back.
That's a win, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's thinking that's pretty good.
I do think that you're spot on in terms of how the rest of the world looks on. And if Ipswich were to win the FA Cup and get relegated, people would still just remember the FA Cup. Yeah. But for the club, I mean, you know, it's funny enough, we'll be talking about this later on. The last 10 years haven't been great to Wigan.
Hugo Radiega tried his best for him and he couldn't keep him up. But there was a joke about that FA Cup final in 2013. It was 3 o'clock on a Saturday, which is fine, but it was during other Premier League games. They just let it on. Yeah, there was other Premier League games on at the same time as that game. It was ridiculous. Ben Watson header to beat Manchester City. Yeah. There was other games on. There was like a 5:30 game on afterwards in the Premier League. They just treated it like a normal day for some reason.
Had they brought it forward, or the league was a delay?
I don't know why. Right. That wasn't even an international tournament year.
I was watching that game on delay. I had like got whatever it was called at the time, TiVo, and my next door neighbour at the time was a massive Manchester United fan, and all I could hear was uproarious laughter. I was like, because it was like the 96th minute or something ridiculous, wasn't it?
It was earlier, but it was late.
It was very, very late.
It was in the 80s anyway. Yeah.
At halftime, I got interrupted and hit pause. I'm like, oh, look at this amazing technology. And then I was watching. And then all I could hear was this uproarious laughter from the Man United fans next door. Yeah. I was like, what's the point in watching this now?
Yeah. So we'll talk Wigan. This won't be the last time we'll talk about Wigan on this show this morning.
Funnily enough.
So a little caveat for it.
I'll run everybody through the pressing sports news. Waterford are top of the SSE Electricity Premier Division table this morning. They came from behind to beat Munster neighbours Cork City 2-1 at the RSC last night, thanks to second half goals from Park Almond and Kyle White. Cork finished with 10 men as Freddie Anderson was sent off for a second yellow. Drogheda continued their impressive start of the season with a 1-0 win over Bowes at Dalyman Park. Bowes booed off their first official home game at Daly Mount. They obviously won their first game of the season and they've lost their three subsequent games. Shells drew 1-1 with Galway United at Eamon DC Park. Pats beat 10-man Derry 2-0 in Inchicore. Makes Amelia fouled for a red card and a penalty in that game. And Sligo Rovers, their first win of the season, 2-1 against Shamrock Rovers, who now sit bottom with just 1 point from three games. Forest through to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup on penalties, having beaten a weakened Ipswich side at the City Ground last night. And obviously, as we were saying, Villa Brugge is at 5:45 this evening. Don Heary and Barry Murphy are with us. Gents, are very welcome. Pretty interesting weekend of fixtures, really, since you were last in. I'm not sure everybody expected Shamrock Rovers to have a single point at this stage. Owen, what's going on there?
I don't know. But you know what? I watched them against Shells and they looked quite tired come the end of the game, the last 10 minutes of it. So whether the European effect is hitting them hard now, I don't know. But they definitely need players back from injury, but they also need, I think, a few fresh faces to come in to, you know, liven it up a little bit for them. But definitely weren't expecting to take just 1 point from six the weekend.
What do you think's going on?
Serious lack of pace. Probably older legs, as Owen said. They looked tired coming off the pitch against Shells. They looked knackered last night. Weren't breaking down the door to try and get a winner. It was Sligo really pushing on to try and get it. And just look at the goals they're conceding. They're so poor. Four goals they conceded, three from set pieces. And it's four from kind of second balls in and around the box. Just balls bouncing around. They're all replicated goals every week. And it just doesn't look like Rovers. They just look knackered. They just look like they're coming to the end of the season instead of the start of it.
Is that partly to do with the fact that obviously they've had a weirdly interrupted pre-season and that this will all be fine in a few weeks?
Well, I don't know if it'll be fine in a few weeks. You know, you could be so far behind. We've seen it last year where they didn't win a lot of games at the start, made up the ground, but I think that was down to other teams having a poor ending to their season. This year, as Barry said, you see players, they haven't done a proper pre-season because of the European games. They're trying to take over. And again, it comes down to they've won so much over the last few years and you need to keep bringing in new faces to keep that going. It's been the same players there and it's difficult for them to keep maintaining that without someone coming in to say, well, look, he's fighting for your spot, to give you pressure on it to make sure that you keep your game at the top level. And it's difficult, but it's not as if they don't have the money to go out and get these players. I said to Barry earlier, I was very surprised that he didn't go and take players from other clubs to weaken the other clubs and bring them into themselves and strengthen them, which Derry done back in the 80s. I remember they done with Martin Bailey, you know, Rovers, and say, right, we'll take him and bring him up there just to weaken Rovers. So quite surprised that they haven't done things like that.
Owen, what's Shamrock Rovers' ceiling for improvement in the current squad now? Because, like, the team that they started with last night probably wasn't their strongest, but their bench was quite strong. So, like, you had Graham Burke coming off at Rory Gaffney, Aaron McInniff, Victor. Jack Byrne staying on the bench. Didn't come on. Not fit. Is there room for optimism here? Because with Rovers, we've seen it time and again, as we talked about it last week, was it four games they waited till their first win last season, six the year before last when they end up winning the league. Is this not panic stations at all and they're just used to this? Or is it a bit different this year?
They definitely won't panic. You know, you can't see Rovers panic. They've been there, they've done it. The players have been there, they've done it. But as I say, you can get into a routine where you expect, look, we're grand. Come the end of the season, we're always going to be thereabouts. But that's leaving it to other teams to drop points.
You can get too comfortable in that position.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's what's happening to them. And now, we don't know the ins and outs. So the players could be on the bench, could be struggling as well, because they've played a lot of games.
Jack's struggling, isn't he? He's just putting the bench to say, just make up numbers,
probably. Yeah. And it's tough for them because they're obviously well monitored now, players. They have these devices to tell you you've run too much. You think sometimes you're better off not having those.
You know, ignorance is bliss. Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you turn around and say, look, it's a 90 minute game. Surely you're out for at least 60 minutes, go and play. But as I said, if they have niggling hamstrings, little strains like that, they're not going to be risk, especially with the season that they have ahead.
Are you worried about Rovers, Barry?
A little bit more than I would have been last season. Right. I think there was a conclave last year about how they started so poorly. They decided it was to do with the fitness, the way they were going about their strength and conditioning. They brought Darren Dillon back in, the strength and conditioning coach, but then they went on that European run. That kind of threw that out the window.
Yeah.
The year before, the whole of December, they were going to do it. So they were going to do something similar, kind of up the stakes and that, come back a lot fitter, but they just didn't get the chance because of Europe. They got thrown out the window in that kind of way. But I think they missed their targets in player-wise.
Yeah.
You look at Rory Gaffney, injured, 35. I think they were probably looking to move him on. Sean Kavanagh, left-back as well, left-wing-back. So neither signed again for another year. You look at Trevor Clark, he's had heart issues that came up in Europe. I think had he not had those, a new left back and new left wing back would have been brought in, but they couldn't find it. So Kavanagh soon he gets another year contract, and same with Gaffney, probably missed a couple of forward targets. I think they're looking at Afolabi. to come back. That was probably further down the line, and then it didn't happen, and then suddenly they have to make a decision on Gaffney, and there's no one else out there. You can only sign free agents now.
Look, it's a question we'll never really have the answer to, but is there a world in which their kind of heartbreak is still there because of the mold of the penalty shootout? And like, you touched on it there, Barry, like, everyone was so invested in Shamrock Rovers at the end of last year because of their European run. Like, even look at the game against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. It started really well. Like, they equalised and they were really competitive and they were just fantastic in Europe. And now it's just, it's all said and done with the penalty shootout that I'm sure they want back now. And they just have the rest of the domestic campaign to get on with, which is enough for most teams. But because of the success of Shamrock Rovers, maybe they're slightly flat or flatter than usual.
Yeah, there's definitely a case for that. I think you'd probably say the same about the fans. There's probably a bit of tiredness there from going through the whole off-season as well. But listen, they're going into a new season. They got five new players as well. He's trying to introduce young lads. Victor coming through, a couple of the young lads to add a bit of pace, but add a bit of kind of oomph to the team as well. I think that it does, as Zon said, these teams need to regenerate, and that's something that Bradshaw has done well over the last 4 years, but it's finding those players now is the problem.
To listen to this morning's full Off The Ball breakfast, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.